Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2450 with the release date of Friday, October 11th, 2024, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams respond as Hurricane Milton engulfs Florida. More funding will be used to strengthen broadcasters in disaster areas. And in India, ham radio is being promoted as a tool for the well-being for women. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2450 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, here's Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
As Newsline went to production, our top story was still developing. Hurricane Milton was rampaging through much of Florida in the U.S. As Randy Sly, W4XJ, tells us, hams were prepared for the worst when it came.
While emergency communications were still continuing in the wake of Hurricane Helene's impact on the southeastern United States, hams in Florida had to begin their own activation for Hurricane Milton on Wednesday, October 9th. In addition to the Hurricane Watch Net on 20 and 40 meters, the statewide amateur radio network, or SARNET, was busy handling traffic from the state's Emergency Operations Center. SARNET is a network of linked UHF repeaters run out of the EOC, covering most of the state of Florida. Approaching the state's western coast south of Tampa with Category 3 winds, Milton was already producing a number of tornadic supercells in southern Florida before making landfall, causing the storm's first deaths. More than 3 million were without power as the hurricane moved out to sea on Thursday morning. As with North Carolina's Mount Mitchell repeater during Hurricane Helene, SARNET was linked to Broadcastify, allowing individuals from around the world a front row seat as amateurs passed emergency traffic. Unfortunately, in addition to hearing a professionally run net, listeners also witnessed malicious interference on the repeaters, which could have endangered clear communications. With handheld radios so easy to obtain nowadays, it is hard to know whether the interruptions came from licensed hams or not. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
Public radio and TV stations are getting an extra dose of federal funds to strengthen their ability to operate during disasters. We have those details from Patrick Clark, K8TAC.
With disaster resiliency on almost everyone's mind in the U.S., the Federal Emergency Management Agency has made an additional $40 million available to public radio and television stations to permit them to upgrade their infrastructure. The money is being released through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The funds are designed to permit radio stations' investments in new transmitters, generators, backup power supplies, antennas, and related equipment for handling emergency messages. The equipment is capable of handling messages through the federal agency's Integrated Public Alert and Warning System and its Common Alerting Protocol. For TV stations, the funds are to support training their personnel in the use of new or upgraded equipment. FEMA has already released two rounds of funding to public broadcasters. This third round will mean that $136 million has been spent during the course of three fiscal years to assist public media's capabilities during disasters. This is Patrick Clark, K8TAC.
A ham club in India with a specialty in helping families reunite with lost relatives has assisted in the homecoming of a man recovering from an amputated leg. We hear more about him from John Williams, VK4JJW.
The suffering of a man separated from his family was amplified by the agony of having just endured the amputation of his left leg, the result of an apparent accident near the Sodapur and Agapara railway station tracks in West Bengal, India. Authorities weren't clear on how the man had become injured, but following his surgery at the Sagar Dutta Medical College and Hospital, they knew they could at least help heal one part of his pain, his sense of isolation and the onset of depression. While the man recovered physically, the hospital superintendent sought help to get him family support. On the 26th of September, the hospital official, Zahid Hossein, contacted the West Bengal Radio Club, an amateur radio organization with a proven track record of helping in missing persons cases. According to a report in the Millennium Post, the hams used their vast network of contacts to locate the man's family in the West Bengal district of Birbhum. The club's secretary, Ambarish Nagbiswas, VU2JFA, told the newspaper that when the hams got in touch with the man's elder sister, they learned that she'd reported him missing about a year ago. The siblings were put in touch with each other, and the man recognized his sister. When he was considered healthy enough to be released by the hospital, he returned home with her to the family's village. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
As many as 50 licensed amateurs between the ages of 15 and 25 will be headed for Colorado next June as the Youth on the Air Camp for the Americas enters its fifth season. The online application period begins on December 1st and open to young radio operators from North, Central, and South America. The camp will take place from June 15th through the 20th. Prospective campers living outside of the United States are being given priority and are encouraged to leave sufficient time to obtain the required passport and tourist visa where applicable. First-time campers are also being given priority. Attendees from past years are welcome to apply to serve as leaders. Meanwhile, plans are in works to inaugurate two other camp experiences next year, sub-regional camps and a Yoda Junior USA camp serving hams younger than 15. Visit youthontheair.org. That's youthontheair, one word, .org. For additional information, please contact Camp Director Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, via the email address director@youthontheair.org. A leader in Albania's amateur radio community has become a silent key. We hear about him from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
From the very beginning, radio was almost certain to be the future for Jovan Bojdani, ZA1H. He grew up watching his father at the helm of Radio Tirana, Albania's first broadcast radio station, which transmitted its powerful signal on 7050 kHz. Jovan's own history-making involvement in radio came with the creation of the Albanian Amateur Radio Association, in which he served as secretary. Jovan had been one of the first students to be trained in the ZA1A IARU amateur radio program in 1989, in preparation for amateur radio's reintroduction into Albania the following year. Notices posted on a variety of DX websites praised Jovan's effort to welcome international operators to Albania and to provide whatever guidance he could to local hams. A note posted on DX News says that the, quote, Jovan worked tirelessly to unite competing amateur radio groups in Albania, though sadly he did not live to see the fruits of his efforts, end quote. Details about the date and cause of his death were not available when Newsline went to production. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
A lifelong ham radio enthusiast and former broadcaster who co-developed the first internet remote amateur radio station has become a silent key. We hear about him from Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
If you've ever operated an amateur radio station remotely via the internet, you have Keith LaMonica, W7DXX, to thank. The former broadcaster, who was the recipient of numerous awards, including the noted Peabody Award, was perhaps best known among hams for working with another amateur, Bob Arnold, into JEU, to establish an internet control base for amateur radio, enabling radio operators without antennas to get on the air remotely with computers. This groundbreaking station was profiled in a 1999 article in CQ magazine. Both Keith and Bob were inducted into CQ's Hall of Fame in 2016. Keith died on Thursday, the 26th of September, following a series of illnesses, according to a notice on QRZ.com. His accomplishments as a ham started very early on in his life when he made front page news in the local California newspaper for being the first person in the area to hear radio transmissions being sent by the Soviet satellite Sputnik. A satellite enthusiast, he developed a satellite radio talk show as a format, creating a program known as FM America. He also hosted a Sun Broadcast Network radio talk show. His long professional career in radio and TV had him crisscrossing the U.S. to markets from the East Coast to the West Coast. The Peabody Award was presented to him for his coverage of the trial of James Earl Ray, who was convicted of the assassination of U.S. civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. in 1968. Keith was 81. I'm Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
Time for you to identify your station. We're the Amateur Radio Newsline heard on bulletin stations around the world, like the George County Aries repeater in Loosedale, Mississippi, Wednesdays at 7:37 p.m. local time. A recent seminar on a university campus in India focused on ham radio as a tool for the well-being of women. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, tells us what the students learned.
As part of their efforts to promote amateur radio and STEM careers among women in India, Sister Nivedita University and Oscar India, a program of All India School of Management and Information Technology, spent a day exploring the value that involvement in radio can bring to women's lives. The all-day seminar, held on September 30th on the university's Kolkata campus, placed a special emphasis on radio communications' vital role in ensuring women's security. Undergraduates enrolled in the university's mass communication and engineering departments were given an opportunity for hands-on experience with radio equipment, especially gear used in emergencies. Oscar India's convener, Neelkanta Chatterjee, VU2OII, shared a sample of VOIP-based communication, traditional radio modes, and Morse code. Oscar India, which has conducted training seminars across 20 states in India during the last 8 years, has placed a greater emphasis in its recent programs on young women using radios. The organization, whose name is an acronym for Open Source Convention for Amateur Radio, is encouraging young women in particular to use ham radio as a gateway to greater personal security. These seminars are designed to increase understanding of technology and general societal well-being through radio connections. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
The liftoff of a balloon from a South African airstrip will carry a variety of ham radio payloads into near space. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, has more details for us.
A dramatic early morning weather balloon launch on Saturday the 12th of October is scheduled to lift a series of CubeSats into a near space environment above South Africa as hams follow and track the balloon from locations as far away as possible. The hams were encouraged to use the various payloads, which included crossband repeaters, LoRa and APRS trackers, parrot repeaters, WSPR beacons, and SSTV payloads. The CubeSats remained aloft until the hydrogen-filled balloon bursts, and then they parachute back to Earth. The launch at a model airstrip near Secunda, coordinated by the Secunda Radio Club, ZS6SRC, is known as BACAR-12. The acronym stands for Balloon Carrying Amateur Radio. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
The parent agency of Voice of America is preparing for relocation to new headquarters in Washington, D.C., leaving the historic Wilbur J. Cohen Federal Building that VOA has called home since 1954. Beginning this year, the U.S. Agency for Global Media will begin moving VOA and its four other international broadcast entities, Radio Free Europe / Radio Liberty, Radio Free Asia, Middle East Broadcasting Networks, and the Office of Cuba Broadcasting. The relocation to 1875 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest is being called a financially sound move. The media agency said it will save taxpayers more than $150 million over the lease's 15-year lifetime. In the world of DX, there will be an Earth Moon Earth event based in Dwingela, the Netherlands, during the Boy Scouts of America Jamboree and the Air Activation on October 18th and 19th. It will be hosted by the Dwingela Radio Telescope. Be listening for scout stations on 432.050 MHz on both days between 1700 UTC and 2230 UTC. You can also monitor the audio via CAMRAS Web SDR. Listen for SAM 7K1 EAS on the air as JR6/7K1 EAS from Unagoni Island, IOTA number AS024, starting on the 13th of October through to the 17th. He will be using FT8/FT4 and SSB on 40, 10, and occasionally 6 meters. QSL via the Bureau. Volker DL1WH will be active holiday style as PA/DL1WH/P from Amelin Island, IOTA number EU038 from the 12th of October through to the 26th. Volker will be using CW and some SSB. See QRZ.com for QSL details. There's still time to work Francesco IK0FUX, who is operating holiday style as 8Q7UX from the Maldives, IOTA number AS013. He is on the air through the 14th of October using CW primarily and some FT8. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Listen for Harold DF2WO, whose 12-day operation from Rwanda begins on the 10th of October. He is using the call sign NX2AW using CW, FT4, and SSB on 80 to 10 meters. You may also hear him on 6 meters. He will focus on stations in Asia. Harold may also be heard via the QO100 satellite. See QRZ.com for QSL details. We end this report with a reminder that it's October, the same month as Halloween, and things are about to get a little, well, okay, a lot hairy. Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB, explains.
You may no longer believe in Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, or even the Tooth Fairy, but do you believe in Sasquatch? The sizable simian of popular American folklore has a sizable following. And when he puts his foot down, he leaves his mark. Bigfoot, that hair-covered, mythical presence reportedly sighted in western states of the U.S., does everything in a big way. So, the Radio Club of Tacoma in Washington State is taking its cue from him by devoting 6 days to mark National Sasquatch Awareness Day, October 16th through the 21st. Whether you call the beast Sasquatch or Bigfoot, you can celebrate Awareness Day by chasing this legendary creature of the woods. Listen for W7 call signs with suffixes that spell Bigfoot, starting with W7B, W7I, W7G, and so on. Sasquatch spotters will be posting his whereabouts on CW, phone, FT8, FT4, RTTY and PSK on the HF bands. Just remember, before you get on the air, put your best, and possibly your biggest, foot forward. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
Don't forget the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. If you're not too busy tuning your antenna or chasing the latest de-expedition, pick up a pencil and share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your 3-line haiku. Sorry, but we cannot accept any entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form. With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, AMSAT News, ARRL, Broadcastify, David Bihar, K7DB, FCC, 425 DX News, Millennium Post, QRZ.com, Radio Inc., Radio World, ShortwaveRadio.de, SARnet, South African Radio League, Telegraph India, Youth on the Air, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024. All rights reserved.